Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
You have a Bhagavad Gita? Could I have one? This morning is a combination Bhagavad Gita class, Srimad Bhagavatam class, based upon Lord Brahma's prayers. We're continuing with Canto 10, Chapter 27, Text number 5. This is Indra. He's just come before Krishna. And he's been received nicely. He didn't know what to expect, but we heard Krishna was smiling. Maybe he was smiling because Surabhi was there, but he was smiling. And Indra took the opportunity then to just simply glorify Krishna. In the previous verse, we heard, it's going to be repeated in this verse, so Krishna is beyond the mode of nature, he's in this transcendental position. So Indra knows that, and now he's continuing. How then could there exist in you the symptoms of an ignorant person, such as greed, lust, anger, and envy, which are produced by one's previous involvement in material existence, and which cause one to become further entangled in material existence? And yet, as the Supreme Lord, you impose punishment to protect religious principles and curb down the wicked. So this is, it's philosophical. Indra isn't as philosophical as Brahma, but he's pretty philosophical in this verse. Here's the BBT purport. This complex philosophical statement by Indra may be analyzed as follows. In the first line of this verse, Indra refers to the main idea expressed at the end of the previous verse, namely, that the great currents of material existence, which are based on ignorance, cannot possibly exist within the Supreme Lord. And that all of that is just from this word, kuta, which means how. How then? Because of this, then how is the words tad, dvaitava, tad, dvaitava, and tat krita indicate that something causes the modes of nature to manifest, and that they, that is the modes, in turn become the cause of that which caused them. Huh? Do that again, please. Okay. In the first line, the commentary here, the first paragraph of the commentary, it's kutau nu. How then? Tad detava. Tad. It means that, but that in this case, it refers to the existence of the material body. That's in the word for word. The existence of the material body causes certain things. And those things that are caused by the material body, those things that cause the material body, are caused by the material body, are the causes of the material body. There's a few, three or four specific points that are meant to be understood clearly, because otherwise it's confusing what is being said here. So let's say it again. Tad hetava. Hetava means cause. Hetu. Hetava. Tad hetu. Tad hetava. The causes of the material body are produced by connection with the material body. So what's that which is produced by one's connection with the material body? When we get a material body, what happens? We become conditioned by the modes of nature. And the particular body that we get is due to the modes of material nature, that we've been influenced by karma and guna, so we get a particular body. There's going to be an example in the purport, but I'm just, before the example, let's just understand the principle. It seems to be a contradiction, but it's not. It seems to be circular reasoning, but it's not. It's perplexing, but here's the attempt is to unpack what he's saying. The existence of the material body has causes. Guna and karma, right? Bhagavad Gita, guna and karma. Based upon guna and karma, we get a body. And then the body, once connected, the soul is connected within a particular body, it behaves according to the modes of nature of the body, or modes of nature that are influencing prakriti. And then, so I'll read the translation again. I'll go through it slowly because it's a little tricky. How then could there exist in you the symptoms of an ignorant person, such as greed, lust, anger, and envy, that's the second line, which are produced by one's previous involvement in material existence, and which caused one to become further entangled in material existence. So that's the next line. The second line of this verse, we find that it is material feelings. Material feelings, such as greed, lust, envy, and anger, that cause the modes of nature to manifest. And that's the material feelings, are themselves caused by the modes of nature. Material feelings cause the modes of nature to manifest. And material feelings are themselves caused by the modes of nature. It's not linear. There's cause and effect. There's something that precedes an effect. There's a cause that precedes an effect. So material feelings cause the modes of nature to manifest. Like, we get triggered and get angry. And then angry, modes of nature manifest. Feelings trigger the modes of nature, cause the modes of nature to manifest. And where did that tendency to become angry come from? The modes of nature. There's an interplay between cause and effect. So let's go back. We'll do it again slowly. The great currents of material existence, which are based on ignorance, cannot possibly exist within the Supreme Lord. That part's easy. The words ta, tad, hetava, it means the causes of the existence of the material body, and tat, krita, that which is produced by one's connection with the material body, indicate that something causes the modes of nature to manifest, and that they, the modes, in turn become the cause of that which caused them. That a key to understand the way this is being presented. So there's cause and effect, but language is the body and the modes of nature that influence the body, they're used interchangeably. That's the message. Say it again. The modes of nature, you know, prakriti, material nature, is the carrying instrument or entity for the modes of nature. Prakriti has different modes. Prakriti is moved by different modes. So when we say prakriti, we mean it implies the modes of nature. And the modes of nature cause a body. When a living entity moves from one situation to the next situation, in this life or from this life to the next life, the modes of nature are determining change of body. I mean, time is involved, so time isn't being discussed. Time is involved. But moving from one situation to another, that requires time. But leaving that to the side, we're going from one circumstance in our day of life where we're feeling, wow, it was, you know, I had some really good chanting this morning. I felt really peaceful. And I'm going to go to the kitchen and make some nice items to offer to Krishna, and that, you know, the morning goes one mode. And then something happens. And there's another mode. So there's a transformation of the body moved by the modes of nature that then, the modes in turn become the cause of a transformation of body. Time is moving the whole thing along, but without time, the modes remain inactive. And with time, then the modes are changing and the body is changing. That's the point. The causes of the existence of the material body, the causes of the existence of the material body, then we have a body, and the body then conditions us. The connection that we have with the body then conditions us by that influence of the modes of nature. It's a prison. Very well designed. And then the second line of this verse, we find that it is material feelings that cause the modes of nature to manifest, and that those material feelings are themselves caused by the modes of nature. So the body is caused by the modes, and the effect, the body causes the modes or carries the modes. And then the next line, material feelings, such as greed, lust, envy, and anger, material feelings that cause the modes of nature to manifest is those very same material feelings that are caused by the modes of nature. There's an interplay between cause and effect. Next paragraph. The explanation of this seeming paradox is as follows. He goes straight to Bhagavad Gita. When the conditioned soul decides to associate with the material qualities, he becomes contaminated by those qualities. as stated in Bhagavad Gita 13:22. Karanam gunasangosya sadasadyoni janmasu. I'll read the translation. Karanam gunasanga, by making the choice to gunasanga, to associate with the modes of nature, sad asad yoni janmasu, good fortune, ill fortune arise. We, you know, karma, activity follows choices of associating with the modes of nature, and that karma then generates good fortune, ill fortune, and we feel this way, feel that way about good fortune, ill fortune. Those are the material feelings part. And those material feelings part, then they cause us to be influenced by this or that or the other mode of nature. All of them are ignorant, the modes of nature. None of them are free from ignorance. And there's degrees of it. So, Karanam gunasangosya sadasadyoni janmasu. It's going to be quoted again in the purport. For example, in the presence of a seductive woman, a man may give in to his lower instincts and try to enjoy sex with her by his deciding to associate with the lower qualities of nature. Those qualities manifest in him very powerfully. He is overwhelmed with lust and driven to try again and again to satisfy his burning desire. Because his mind has been infected by lust, that's the material feeling. It came about by associating with the mode of nature, the mode of passion, comes lust. Right in Bhagavad Gita. By association with the modes of nature, kama arises, and from kama comes krodha. So it's the choice of associating with the modes of nature that brings the body and the transformations of body, and then the transformations of the modes of nature. Because his mind has been infected by lust, all that he does, thinks, and speaks will be influenced by his strong attachment to sex, or whatever it is that one is attached to. In other words, by choosing to associate with the lusty qualities of nature, he has caused them to powerfully manifest within himself. And eventually those lusty qualities themselves will cause him to accept another material body suitable for affairs governed by those qualities. Now, it doesn't mention, but I will, Bhagavad Gita chapter 15, texts 8 and 9. And these two verses are describing transmigration, just as, I'll read what it says here again. By choosing to associate with the lusty qualities of nature, or whatever qualities of nature, he, the living entity, has caused them to powerfully manifest within himself, that's the body, and eventually those lusty qualities themselves will cause him to accept another material body, suitable for affairs governed by those qualities. So here's chapter 15, text number 8. The living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Text 9. The living entity, thus taking another gross body, obtains a certain type of senses, ear, eye, tongue, nose, and sense of touch, which are grouped about mind. He thus enjoys a particular set of sense objects, which is similar to the same idea mentioned in 3.22 Bhagavad Gita. I guess we could read that purport. It's mentioned again in this purport. Paragraph. The lower qualities such as lust, greed, anger, and envy are abuddha linga bhava, symptoms of ignorance. These are lower qualities, they're symptoms of ignorance. Indeed, as indicated by Srila Sridhar Swami in his commentary, the manifestation of the modes of nature is synonymous with the manifestation of a particular material body. I'll read it again, twice, because this is a key to understand what's being said here. The manifestation of the modes of nature is synonymous with the manifestation of a particular material body. The verse speaks of the manifestation of the modes of nature. It means also the manifestation of a particular material body. They're synonymous. The words are different, but the meaning is the same. It is clearly explained throughout the Vedic literature that the conditioned soul receives a particular body, gives it up, and then accepts another. Why? Simply because of his involvement with the modes of nature. Karanam guna sangosya. Thus, one more time. To say that one is participating in the modes of nature is to say that one is accepting particular types of bodies suitable for the particular qualities one is involved with. And then, once you have a body, then you act according to the impulses of the body. Like in these purports for 3.22, Prabhupada speaks about you get the body of a dog and you behave like a dog, and you get the body of a king and you behave like a king, and so forth. The body conditions the soul. That's what conditioned soul means. We're conditioned by the modes, or we're conditioned by the body, which is conditioned by the modes. And having a particular body, we behave according to the body we have. And what's the path out? There isn't a path out without transcendence, transcending the modes. Because otherwise it's just perpetual. Living entity going from one in this lifetime and then to the next lifetime to the next lifetime because of the modes of nature conditioning, prakriti conditioning the soul. I'm going to read again, 15, 8, and 9. The living entity in this material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. The living entity, thus taking another gross body, obtains a certain type of ear, eye, tongue, nose, and sense of touch, which are grouped about the mind. He thus enjoys a particular set of sense objects. This is chapter 15, but it's part of the understanding here in 15, chapter 15, these two verses. It's resting on Sankhya philosophy. Senses, sense objects, the mind, how they're situated, and the living entity is being carried by them. Or the commentary of our acharyas in these verses say the soul carries the senses, the subtle senses, not the gross ones. So I'll read the rest of the purport and the commentaries, and we'll see if there's further discussion. An ignorant bystander might have simplistically interpreted Krishna's pastimes of lifting Govardhan Hill as follows. The resident of Vrindavan were obliged by Vedic principles to make certain offerings to the god of heaven, Indra. Child Krishna, ignoring the position of Indra, usurped these offerings and took them for his own pleasure. When Indra tried to punish Krishna and his associates, the Lord frustrated Indra's attempt, humiliated him, and exhausted his pride and resources. Paragraph. But this superficial interpretation is refuted in this verse. Here, Lord Indra addresses Sri Krishna as Bhagavan, indicating that he is not an ordinary child, but that he is God. Therefore, Krishna's punishing Indra was part of his mission of protecting religious principles and curbing down the envious. It was not a display of material anger or of greed for the offerings meant for Indra. Sri Krishna is pure spiritual existence, and his simple, sublime desire is to engage all living beings in the perfect, blissful life of Krishna consciousness. Krishna's desire is to make us Krishna conscious. It's not egotistical, since ultimately Krishna is everything, and Krishna consciousness is objectively the best consciousness. Indra is really the humble servant of Krishna, a fact he is now beginning to remember. Commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. O Lord, I have no desire to accept the gunas. If you have no desire to accept the gunas, how then do the effects of the gunas, such as greed, the markings of ignorance, appear within you? How could you stop my worship without these gunas? Without greed and anger, you punish in order to protect Dharma. Jiva Goswami's commentary. This is expressed in Kai Mutika Nyaya. Jiva Goswami's got his, so their laws of logic, one of the doctrines of teachings about the Vedas is Nyaya, logic. Kai Nutika Nyaya. If your qualities are not Maya, then what fault is there if you are the cause of Maya? The cause is the Lord. O controller of Maya, Isha. Question. But the pile of food and intolerance of your pride, you understood that I have material qualities. Why do you try now to conceal those faults? Qualities like greed for food, which has been given by devotees, qualities which show the greatness of devotees and bhakti, are produced by you. They are not made by Maya, but by your mercy alone. And he quotes a Sanskrit verse, Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam, that verse, Bhagavad Gita 9:26. I accept that which is offered in devotion from the genuine devotee, having pure body and mind, who gives just a leaf, flower, fruit, or water. Quote, one who can accept that greed, since it gives joy to the devotee and suffering to others, but anger gives suffering to a person since he will get punished. Can this also be mercy? Answer, destroying the wicked in order to protect the devotees is mercy, for because of that punishment, the wicked begin to follow Dharma and then become happy. That also is only mercy. the Lord performs punishment. Though Krishna was present, Indra speaks as if he were absent by addressing him as Bhagavan out of fear and respect. Sanatana Goswami, since you are an ocean of good qualities and devoid of faults, you and your devotees have no greed or other bad qualities. This is expressed by Kaimutya, that same Kaimutya Nyaya message. What's that? O Lord, controller of Maya, greed and other qualities are created by you. Greed is especially mentioned because it was a cause of happiness for the devotees and grief for others at the worship of Govardhan. Therefore, greed is permissible in unintelligent persons like us who are not your servants. Though greed does not exist in you and your servants, it exists in us. You carry out punishment because you're Bhagavan, having appeared to benefit the world. You are directly the Supreme Lord. Bhagavan carries out punishment. Indra does not directly address the Lord as you out of fear and respect. Two more commentaries. Again, Vishwanath. Indra said, O Lord, if you have no desire to accept the modes of nature, how do these effects such as greed and anger appear within you? How could you stop my worship without the influence of the modes of nature? And without showing greed and anger, how could you punish the wicked to protect the principles of religion? And again, Jiva Goswami, O controlling Lord, where is the fault if you are the cause of Maya? The greed and other qualities seen in devotees are created by you. The Lord punishes in order to protect Dharma and chastise the wicked. So those are a little perplexing, isn't it? What's going on here? Commentary is taking the inference of what's being said. The inference of what's being said is Krishna has no qualities. And though it appears that he's greedy for the items that were meant for Indra, and he appears to be angry because he checked Indra, there are no material qualities in him. But the devotees, pure devotees, like Krishna, don't have those qualities. But persons like Indra have those qualities, and so he's caught in the cycle of birth and death, and he's involved in the philosophical point that's mentioned above. Let's go through the philosophical point again. It's not easy to understand, admittedly. So it starts with, within reference to the previous verse, text 4, within quality, within Krishna, there's no modes of nature, there's no material qualities. So that's given. The currents, great currents of material existence, which are based on ignorance, cannot possibly exist within the Supreme Lord. Now, what about us? So, those of us that have a material body, there's some cause. Modes of nature and karma cause material bodies. And then once we have a material body, that connection with the material body produces the modes, or behaviors that are influenced by the modes. Something caused the modes to manifest, and they once you have a body, in turn, cause more of the same. Anger, fear, lust, greed, etc. And then, not in contrast, but furthering the same point, there are material feelings, greed, lust, envy, etc., that cause the modes to manifest. You know, when you get angry, the modes get inflamed. So, which comes first? The modes getting inflamed or your anger? Maybe the modes inflame your anger, or the anger inflames the modes. But there's a mutual influence back and forth. And it's by having a body that's simultaneously, that this mystery in part is solved by Sridhar Swami. The manifestation of the modes of nature is synonymous with the manifestation of a particular material body. I mean, it's not just, so one, is one the cause and the other is the effect, or vice versa, or are they synonymous? So he's saying they're synonymous. Without this, you don't have that. Without that, you don't have this. So it enters in the conditioned soul category, and he's honoring the Supreme Lord who is not. But since everything comes from him, then how can the modes and material emotions or material feelings come into existence? They have to have existence within the source of everything, who is Krishna. I mean, why do bad things happen? That question. Or why do bad things happen with good people? You know, why did God create a world in which bad things happen? There are different ways of asking the same thing. And so who is responsible? God's responsible because he created it, right? But he is just reciprocating with the desires of the entity. And the desire of the living entity is they want to associate with a particular mode of nature. And that's seen by them as enjoyment. And by that association, they get a body and they do foolish things and they get consequences for the foolishness. So ignorance is, way up there. At the very, very beginning of creation, ignorance is there. Darkness, ignorance is there. The whole cloud of material energy it's dark. It's ignorance. And then comes modes of nature that are all influenced by that. So then, feelings are induced by the modes of nature, and the modes of nature induce feelings, more feelings. So, you're getting these two pictures. How does conditioned life go on? And Krishna is beyond conditioned life. The previous verse said he's beyond the modes of nature, beyond any bad influences. And then the contrast is, I, different than you, I'm not the same as you. I'm influenced. And I'm influenced in these ways. And the modes of nature get flared up. And that's what happened. But you're not influenced by that. Even I did some bad stuff. You're not all negative towards me. You maintain your transcendental position because you're not influenced by these feelings. You don't have a material body like I do. You're not influenced by these feelings. You're not influenced by the modes of nature. You're not influenced by having a material body because you don't have a material body. You're in this transcendental position and I'm over here. And so, as the Supreme Lord, although you're in this transcendental place, you impose punishment to protect religious principles and to curb down the wicked. So he's anticipating he's going to get punished because he did some bad stuff. And by your doing that, it's not like you're gonna, you know, you have anger. It's for my benefit. He's expecting punishment. He did a really bad thing. Now Krishna's smiling, so he doesn't indicate it's going to be too severe, but he's expecting punishment. Okay, this perplexing verse is now, we discussed it a bit, it's 18 minutes after the hour. Let's see if we can have some intelligible discussion. Any thoughts or comments? The portable mic isn't working?
It's not working.
Went to sleep?
The adapter is... it's not getting the power. Something happened to the adapter.
So you're going to fix it?
Fixing it.
Yeah. Or get another one or something. Okay, you try. Good. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I don't know whether it is a question or I'm just trying to explain my understanding. In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, I see a connection with this, where the fourth or fifth shloka, Krishna says, Nahi kaschit shanamapi jatatishtatya karma krit, karyatehi avashak karma, sarvav prakriti jair gunaihi. So he says that one has to act helplessly because of the influence of the modes of material nature. So it seems like the material modes of nature act upon the person.
Yes.
And it is so overwhelming, he has to react to that. So when mode of passion is acting, so I have to react to that because it's so powerful. So I helplessly react, and which I increase the mode of passion again, yeah, which again backs up and adds to my baggage. And influences me again and again.
Yes.
And
it's connected, as you're saying, yes.
Yes. And the only way out of it is Deviye Shagunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya. Mame Vaye Prabhyante. Is that the only way to?
Yeah. And then there's details about the surrender, but the principle is yes. That's the way out. Connecting with Krishna takes one beyond that compelling force.
And in every situation, Guru Maharaj, it's very difficult to take the correct action when the modes act. So how can we be focused to take the correct action in at least most of the situations?
Well,
I cannot say every
the short situation. Answer is That by becoming cleansed through the sadhana bhakti process, that which impels us into mindless acts can be minimized, and some clarity, some light, so we can make the right choices instead of impelled by the modes of nature. The cleansing process is required. That which connects us to Krishna, the shelter of Krishna, that's the sadhana method. That's the how-to.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. So this feels like a vicious cycle to me.
Yes.
And
bondage.
The way out is transcendence only. But transcendence is inconceivable.
No.
So
it's accessible.
So by doing proper sadhana and by doing all the elements of devotional service, like preparing food for Krishna, offering, having that food. So is it like I am constantly in contact with Krishna? That's what is purifying us.
Yes, that's right.
And also I'm curious to know, like, what is the science behind, like, remembering Krishna? What happens if we remember Krishna moment to moment?
What happens if?
Yeah. How does it work? Like,
how does it work? That those are two questions.
Yeah, it's a different question, Maharaj. So for the first question, I got the answer, like, you said, yes, this is, so we are in contact with Krishna all the time. And my second question is, like, what happens if we remember, like, it is an instruction to us, remember Krishna as much as possible, constantly remember Krishna. So I'm curious to know how it impacts our consciousness by remembering Krishna.
Well, in short, coverings become removed. And what this 15:8 verse that we read, the covering is subtle in the subtle mind, and those coverings called conceptions of life, but the other commentaries say the modes of nature, they cover our consciousness. Clouds cover the light of the sun. Involvement in the modes of nature and the conceptions that influence those coverings, the mind and senses, meaning the subtle senses, that becomes purified by the bhakti process. And when it becomes purified, then you can see the sun when the clouds are gone. The sun is always there, but you can't see the sun right today because there's lots of clouds. But when the clouds part and they're gone, then you can see the sun. So when the mind becomes similarly, when the mind becomes cleansed, that is, the modes that are influencing them presently it's gone, then pure consciousness can be your experience. Instead of covered consciousness. And mind is very important in this process. So thus think of Krishna.
So Maharaj, isn't it necessary for me to have a proper conception of Krishna first?
Not first. It's everything is gradual. The conception is gradual. Don't think that you can't go anywhere until you have a proper conception. Let's start with sound, because sound will help purify the mind, and that will help you get a proper conception. Mm. It engages nicely in the hearing process.
Yeah. Thank you, Guru.
Okay.
Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, online questions. From Srinath Prabhu. Like Indra, we are relentlessly suffering in this material world because of interaction with the three modes of material nature and offenses against Vaishnavas. However, Indra's suffering first received the blessings, shelter and guidance of Guru. Then only he was able to repent and seek forgiveness from Krishna. My question is, what should be our attempt to cultivate real intelligence and remain a lifelong disciple? We clearly see by his actions, Indra not only offended the Vrajavasis and Krishna, but first and foremost offended his spiritual master.
His question is curious. Because in the whole Leela, Brihaspati is not even mentioned. But perhaps by his question, it's implicit that Brihaspati first and foremost was offended. That is to say, when you do something against Krishna, it's offensive to Guru. But his language of the question is interesting. First and foremost. I mean, it sounds like you have an understanding that's not explicitly expressed in this Leela of Krishna, and your implicit understanding is, by the pleasure of Guru, one can understand the pleasure of Krishna. By conversely, by the displeasure of Guru, one can understand Krishna is displeased. So, I mean, you're within the question itself is the answer to your question. It's implicit. It's part of our, if you want to please Krishna, you must please Guru. One who, the Adi Purana quote, Krishna says to Uddhava, one who claims to be my devotee is not my devotee, but one who's the devotee of my devotee, that's my devotee. The way to please Krishna is through Guru. So it's just it's a principle that you're sharing. And the principle is a universal principle. But the fact is, yes, he has displeased Krishna. His actions against Krishna's devotees is displeasing to Krishna. Next.
Question from Gayatri Mataji. You were mentioning from the commentaries that there were degrees of modes of ignorance in other material modes of nature. Degrees of mode of ignorance in other material modes of nature. So I am understanding that a conditioned soul, no matter which of the three modes he is situated, he might have varying degrees of ignorance acting upon him.
Correct.
Is this understanding correct?
Yes.
Can you provide an example to better my understanding?
Then what?
An example?
Sure. Sattva-guna, we had this discussion from Brahma's prayers. But Sattva-guna, in the material mode of goodness, has some passion, some ignorance. But goodness is predominant. However, although goodness is predominant, the other lower modes are competing for supremacy and sometimes they supersede goodness. Because there's always ignorance and passion. The three modes are always present within the material world. So, ignorance is there in goodness, ignorance is there in passion, and ignorance is there in ignorance. And it's more concentrated in the mode of ignorance. And it's less concentrated in the mode of goodness, but it's there. And the essence of ignorance, we've discussed this many times, the essence of ignorance is ignoring Krishna. Thus the modes manifest and cover one by this. It's the choice to mix with the modes. Another way of saying the thing, same thing, is a choice to try to enjoy separate from Krishna. That's ignorance. And then you get the modes that have varying degrees of ignorance. Okay.
From Gopinath. Why are all the modes ignorant?
There's the answer. I just explained.
Question from Gaurasundar Prabhu. Modes of nature, many times we experience different modes acting between our gross and subtle body. For example, lower modes in subtle body at the same time gross body. And that's all I have. You have more there? Okay, I'll read it again, Guru Maharaj.
Thank you, because I'm not clear what he's saying.
Okay. Question. Modes of nature, many times we experience different modes acting between our gross and subtle body. For example, lower modes in subtle body at the same time gross body trying to suppress lower modes because we are in an atmosphere of goodness. Only in rare circumstances we overcome the lower modes. Mostly we hang on to the lower modes. It appears modes of nature are multi-layered within us trying to gain supremacy. Isn't modes of nature very deep, deep-rooted and devastating?
Just read the last sentence again.
Isn't modes of nature very deep-rooted and devastating?
Yeah. We're under the grip. And so that's this material nature, same point, material nature, prakriti means the modes. We're under the influence of material nature, prakriti, the modes. And it has a tight grip. And it's acting on all levels. Intelligence also. I mean, straight in Bhagavad Gita. Intelligence and happiness and every, you know, the modes of nature got us covered. All levels.
Okay. A question from Atulya Mataji. My question is that while we have these material feelings, as we progress in devotional service, will these go away or we will develop immunity towards anger, greed, etc.? Or should we watch and work on them or probably all of them? How to protect my devotional service from getting affected by these feelings?
Eventually, there's two parts in my response. Eventually, they subside and disappear. They're gone. The material emotions, not emotions, but the immaterial emotions, which are reflections of the spiritual emotions, material emotions subside and are gone. And do we have to work on it? Well, one can say, no, the process of bhakti automatically takes care of it. Or one can say, yes, it's part of the bhakti process to try to become clean. But the effort is not just try to become clean. The effort is to become Krishna conscious, and that's a subset of trying to become Krishna conscious. There's obstacles, and I have to address the obstacles. I make some effort and I depend on mercy. It's, you know, you have to make both effort and be connected with the merciful process of bhakti. Not automatic in the material sense of automatic like a machine. So strive to be attentive and very involved, very consciously involved with your sadhana activities, and depend on Krishna's mercy. Call out for Krishna's mercy. So both.
Okay. Question from Sachi Sutta Prabhu. Hare Krishna, is this the only mistake Indra did and repent with Krishna genuinely? In my life, I tend to make several mistakes, mostly some same mistakes repeatedly due to my conditioning.
No, it's not the only mistake that Indra made. He's influenced in those ways as are we. His condition is not as elevated. I mean, his condition is far more elevated than our condition. But that also means when he makes mistakes, they're like shocking, the mistakes he makes.
From Radha Vallabh Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada states that Lord has sublime desire to engage all living entities.
The Lord has what?
Sublime desire.
Sublime desire.
Sublime desire. To engage all living entities in perfect Krishna consciousness. So is Lord's correction of living entities expression of deep love,
yes.
Affection?
Oh, yeah. That you just expressed one of the main points in this verse and the commentary of this verse. His chastising of the miscreants is meant for their elevation and purification as kindness.
Okay. With reference to our initial discussion on modes of nature, body seems to be acting like interface between modes of material nature and soul. Is that understanding correct? Ramasharan Prabhu.
No. The intermediary is the mind, not the body. The body is an instrument, and the intermediary is the mind.
The question from Sachisuta Prabhu, it continues. He was asking, like, in my life, I tend to make several mistakes, mostly same mistakes, repeatedly due to my conditioning. How to overcome making repeated mistakes?
Make good choices. We get, you know, intelligence from Krishna, and we confirmed in scripture, and you follow, and then you make choices that are pursuant of the indications of scripture and sadhu and shastra. Purification makes it possible.
Question from Radhika Priya. Why Krishna created the modes of material nature in the first place? And why did he bind us?
Well, why creation? Because we wanted. That's why.
When we say thinking about Krishna, is the mind who functions? Is it the mind which functions?
Yes, and the mind can gradually become purified and free from all contamination, then that way we can continuously think of Krishna. But our mind is not free from contamination, so it's not always thinking of Krishna. So the instrument, the mind, become purified by bhakti process, and included in that bhakti process is remembering him. All the vidhis of the bhakti process are for that purpose, remembering him.
That's it, Guru Maharaj. Online questions. I have one question.
Okay.
Or again, I don't know whether it's a statement I'm making, or a question. When we act in transcendence, say we are performing our sadhana, it is beyond the modes.
The sadhana is our consciousness may not be.
Okay.
So does that answer your question?
No, Guru Maharaj. Suppose say it's a sincere sadhana.
Okay.
So during the period of the sadhana, it is purification. And during the period of when we are performing the sadhana,
yeah,
like chanting and hearing, it purifies
yes,
the consciousness. And later during the day, there may be a lot of contamination. Because
whatever.
Yeah. Due to the inexperience and, you know. So, can we say that the purification is more potent and more powerful than the contamination, that eventually we get more purified to act properly?
Provided we don't make offense, yes. Because that's another problem.
Offense meaning Vaishnava?
Offense, the 10 offenses against the holy name, for example. Don't make offense. And then what you said is yes, provided we don't make offense. A small thing.
Thank you.
Like in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada mentions the term Jivan Mukta. So the people in this lifetime, in this body also, they are on such a platform that they are just Jivan Muktas. So I just wanted
What's your question?
I wanted to hear about those, like what are their activities and how they...
Devotional service without mix of the modes of nature, without selfishness. That's the Jivan Mukta.
Right, Maharaj, so it's like beyond conceivable potency that how without modes of nature, still living in this material world.
They're influenced by the internal potency instead of the external potency.
All the time.
That's what Jivan Mukta means.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you.
Prabhupada ki jai.